Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
So let's go ahead and pray this morning and just make some room for the Lord to come and be with us and be among us. Father, I thank you today for the privilege to come together, for your people. Lord, you have called us from many places. You've called us from different backgrounds. You've called us out of different age groups, out of different situations, Lord, and you're making us one people. And we use times like this, Lord, to continue to take that which are many and make one. So, Lord, I pray that you would be among us this morning, that you would give us ears to hear your voice, that you'd give us a heart to do your will, that you'd give us feet to follow after you. And, Lord, as a result of our time together this morning, God, that we would leave here different. Lord, we thank you for it. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and have your way in this place. God, we ask all these things in your name and for your glory and by your power. If that's your prayer this morning, somebody shouted amen. Amen. So y'all talk to your preachers here. The more you talk, the faster I preach. If you don't say amen, I figure you didn't get it, so I better repeat it. So if y'all want to get to lunch early, all those amens are going to help us. Anybody here ever learn to do the foxtrot? Any foxtrotters out there? Two or three of us. Supposedly one of the easiest ballroom dance steps to learn. When my wife Sarah and I got married, we decided we wanted to dance at our reception. So we took some ballroom dance lessons to get ready. Now the instructor recommended we learn two dances. One was the foxtrot and the second was swing dancing. Now swing dancing looked like a ton of fun, and I so badly wanted to be able to do it. Sarah loved it, but I could never get it. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried, but I could not, for the life of me, learn how to swing dance. I did, although, learn a passable foxtrot, which is just a simple box step with a simple repeated rhythm. Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Right? The slow step, every beat, you take a slow step, and then on the fast steps, you take a step every half beat. So you take two steps on that one beat. So it's slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. So finally we got to the wedding day. I got to kiss the bride. We walked out in the middle of the dance floor. Everybody's watching, the music starts. We smile at one another. And I just keep saying to myself, slow, slow, quick, quick, slow. Now, because we had spent so much time practicing that rhythm over and over and over again, when the big day came, I was able to do it. Well, there's another rhythm that I want to talk about this morning, much more important and much more powerful. It's a rhythm that can help us to live different. It's a rhythm that can help us to think different and to talk different. It's a rhythm that will help us to more clearly demonstrate the life-changing love, truth, and power of Jesus to our friends and to our neighbors. If we want to follow Jesus more closely, if we want to live out our faith more clearly, if we want our lives to bring a greater blessing to those around us, if we want to more effectively reach Painesville for Jesus, then this rhythm is critical for us to practice and to embrace. So the rhythm I want to talk to you about this morning is very similar to the one that Sarah and I danced to. The rhythm I want to teach us this morning is quick, slow, slow. Would you say that with me? Say quick, slow, slow. We're going to say that a few times this morning to try to help us remember. Now, the foundation of this rhythm is found in a letter written by a man from the first century named James, who was one of the brothers of Jesus. This letter, of course, was written about 20 years after the death and resurrection of Christ and has been preserved for us as part of the New Testament. It is an incredibly practical and helpful letter to all of those who want to know what it means to follow Jesus well. If you have not read the book of James in its entirety, I would encourage you to do so It will help you to follow Jesus in a way that glorifies him and helps others. So this morning, we're going to be looking at James chapter 1 to help all of us learn a rhythm of Christ-likeness. A rhythm of Christ-likeness. Reading from James chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone, somebody say everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For if human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Like a beginner learning a new dance step, this process can be learned the same way. If we are determined to practice it over and over and over again, we can become quick to listen. We can become slow to speak, and we can become slow to anger. Quick, slow, slow. So I believe the church should make the world a better place. Anybody with me? Yeah. We accomplish this primarily by becoming more like Jesus. We make the world a better place by becoming more like him. And this happens as we come together to worship. We come together to pray, to learn, and to grow. It happens by going out into our neighborhoods and cities to love and to challenge, to warn and to teach and to serve those who are disconnected from God. This growing Christ-likeness in us enables us to not just tell others about Jesus, but to demonstrate something of his love and his truth and his power to those around us. Now, James reminds us that being a Christian is not just about believing the right things, but it's also about doing the right things. It's not just about believing in Jesus, it's about following him. So all of us in this room are on some type of journey. And we determine that journey step by step. Now, one of the most important things to remember about a journey is that it is defined by movement. Friends, if we're not moving forward, we're no longer on a journey, we're just simply camped out. Now, the journey that followers of Jesus are committed to is moving closer to God. It's a journey from less maturity to greater maturity, from less devotion to greater devotion, from compromise to obedience, and from doubt to faith. I want to ask you this morning, how's your journey going? Are you still moving towards him? Have you gotten stuck someplace or sidetracked along the way? How's your journey going this morning? We are all going to struggle along this road at times. Sometimes we're doing great. Other times we're bogged down. We're getting sidetracked. We're getting distracted. Stuff's hitting us from the side. Stuff is trying to push us back. Along this journey, we are all going to have struggles. We all have times when our progress is stopped or we find ourselves headed in the wrong direction. But James gives us a common destination to travel towards. He gives us some common language to talk and to pray about. These words bring awareness and conviction for change and direction for the future. We can all get on a right path today with three simple steps. I bet you know what they are. We do need to understand that these steps, though quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, are all contrary to our human nature and emotions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is not going to come natural to us. And in order to respond to the world around us in this way, we will have to be intentional and we will have to be supernatural. Friends, we need supernatural truth to teach us and supernatural power to change us. I want to spend some time this morning learning how to get there. There are three steps to adopt if we want to learn a new and powerful rhythm of Christ-likeness. The first one, number one, of course, is quick to listen. Quick to listen. Much of what the Bible says about listening is written from a negative position, meaning it warns us what happens if we refuse to listen. Now, one of these verses is found in Proverbs 19:27. If you stop listening to correction, my son, you will stray from the words of knowledge. We stop listening. So over and over, God says, I gave you instruction. I told you what to do, but you refused to hear it. When God spoke, when God's people spoke, and the hearers refused to listen, destruction and loss came upon them. The children of Israel were freed from Egypt, but they endured judgment in the desert just because they wouldn't what? Because they wouldn't listen. Later, the enemies of Israel and Judah were, the nations of Israel and Judah were taken captive by their enemies because they refused to listen. Those who heard Jesus teach but would not listen or do what he said, they all suffered the consequences of refusing to have ears to hear. But it's not just them, friends, is it? We've also suffered from not listening. When we were younger and we ignored the warnings of those who knew better. Maybe we were in relationships and somebody tried to warn us and said, this is not a good relationship for you, but we didn't want to hear it. Or we're in a relationship that's good for us, but we didn't want to hear the instructions and the encouragements of the things that we probably need to fix or do better in order for the health of that relationship to continue. We suffered because we wouldn't listen. Or maybe God was speaking to us through his word, through other believers, through the Holy Spirit, and we chose to ignore it or excuse it away. Chose to wait and see what happened before we obeyed. Unwillingness to listen typically comes down to pride and selfishness. Unwillingness to listen typically comes down to pride and selfishness. We think we already know what they're going to say. So why should we listen to every word that they want to say to us? Besides, why is what they think and feel more important than what I think and feel? There's a lot of reasons why we don't listen well. I'm going to list a few listening styles that are not necessarily healthy or positive and see if you find yourself in this list somewhere. A list of different kinds of listeners. The first one's the take turns listener. You can just raise your hand if any of these are you. You don't have to. Confession's good for the soul. Take turns listener. This listener is more focused on forming their response than what you are telling them. Yeah, the laughter is probably giving you away. The impatient listener. This listener finishes your sentences, cuts you off because they assume they know what you're about to say. You know anybody like that? You don't have to confess. You don't have to say it's you. Yeah. How about the competitive listener? Instead of trying to empathize and understand what you're saying, they try to top your story with their own. Got friends like that? Family? Maybe a spouse? How about distracted listener? They don't focus on you enough to really understand you. Now, people with brains that are really busy, like I can relate to this a little bit, we're not always focused completely on every word. We're distracted listeners. So we have take turns listener. We have impatient listeners. We have competitive listeners. We have distracted listeners. But the one we want to be is an active listener. If active listener, when our attention, our words, our body language, and our attitudes say to the speaker that you are my priority right now. I'm here to listen, to understand, and to care about you. We've all felt that. We've all had somebody that made us their priority when we were talking and they were listening and we feel valued. I feel like they're understanding what we're talking about. I'm affirming your feelings. I'm asking questions to get more information. I'm interested in who you are, not just what you're going and what you're going through. Now, most people think of Jesus as a great teacher, and of course he was. But Jesus also asked a lot of questions. And he waited to hear the answers, even though he already knew what they were. So much of the time, allowing life change to happen in us and others begins with taking time to listen. It causes us to put others before ourselves. It's like fasting from always having to give our own opinion. Now, how many in your room are pretty much always right? Yeah. I mean, let's just be honest. Now, for those of us, this is going to be pretty hard for you because, you know, people just need to hear what it is that we have to say. But sometimes it's going to be really good. I'm going to encourage you to try, just to give it a try and really hear people out for a little while before we give our opinion and how it is that they should fix what they're doing. Let's be active listeners. Our relationships can find a new, healthier, and more Christ-like rhythm, but we have to be willing to listen before we speak. To wait and to take time to understand what others are saying and feeling before we form an opinion or give one. We can and need to determine ahead of time that we will listen first and that we won't interrupt others when they're talking. Who needs to hear that this morning? We can avoid some pain, friends. We can foster some humility. We can deepen our relationships, and as a result, we will be more like Jesus if we will just stop and choose to listen. There's a rhythm we need to learn. We find it in the book of James. It's quick, slow, slow. We need to begin by being quick to listen, but we also need to be, number two, slow to speak. How many times have we said something and no sooner than it got out of our mouth that we knew it was a bad idea? Yeah. I have ruined relationships. I have lost other people's respect. I have lost opportunities because I didn't keep my mouth shut. Just because I was not slow to speak. I'm sure some of you in this room can relate to that. The Bible warns us, Proverbs 21:23, the one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs 29:20, do you see someone who speaks too soon? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Let's just take a moment and think through some of the negative things that happen when we're not slow to speak. We offend or hurt those we're speaking to. Most often, it's the ones we love and care for the most. We make things worse and more complicated than if we would have just waited and kept our mouth shut. We say things we wouldn't have if we would have stopped to gather our thoughts or calm our emotions. When we are too quick to respond, we often won't really even understand what others are saying or feeling. This discipline of being slow to speak allows time for our own thoughts to be clear, and more importantly, it allows time for God to speak to us and shape our response in ways that better reflect His wisdom and His heart. In the world today where everyone has an opinion, and the boldest and the most extreme opinions typically get the most attention, we need to allow the Bible to be our guide. We need to remember that wisdom is not always having something to say. Sometimes wisdom is better demonstrated by saying nothing. If we want to be slow to speak, we need to pray. Psalm 141, verse 3, Lord, set a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. God, put a guard over my mouth. Help us to not say anything hurtful or short-sighted. We need to pray, friends, but then we just need to practice. It's just like any other exercise. It's like any other things, whether you're practicing an instrument, whether you're working out, whether you're running, whether you're riding your bike, whatever it is, the more you do it, the better you get at it. Sometimes it's just practice, and this is something that we can practice and receive benefit from. We can practice this rhythm of quick, slow, slow. We can decide that we're going to listen more and talk less. We can decide we're going to spend more time understanding than being understood. We can determine that we're going to invest more energy in being interested instead of trying to be interesting. It's like a dance step, friends. This new rhythm will take some time to get good at, but I believe the benefit will far outweigh the trouble. In order to speak in life-giving and soul-restoring ways, we need to be a little more intentional. And this intentionality will bring a greater Christ-likeness to our own souls, to our families, to our workplaces, to our social media pages, to our church, and to our community. By just practicing this simple rhythm of quick, slow, slow. Would you say it with me? Say quick, slow. We do this by being, of course, quick to listen, by being slow to speak, and by number three, being slow to anger. It's a pastor joke, so brace yourself. I heard a pastor ask this question. He says, what's the one thing you can't get rid of by losing it? Of course, it's your temper. The more you lose it, the more you get it. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger, give up your rage, do not be agitated. It can only bring harm. See, we would say, well, rage isn't a problem for me. Anger, not so much. Agitated, I get a little agitated. But this verse says, we would say, well, that's not that big a deal, right? I'm not raging on anybody. I'm not really angry. I'm just a little aggravated. But God says it only brings what? Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. This verse likens anger, rage, and harsh words to evil behavior. Now, some of us talk to somebody kind of the same vein. We talk to our family, or we talk to one another. We talk to maybe our coworkers. We talk to people we care about harshly. And you think, well, it's not that big a deal. But the Bible likens it to evil. Maybe it's a bigger deal than we think it is. Maybe it does harm. While we know that anger can be very destructive, we also understand that all anger is not sin. There are some things that should anger us. We should be angry at injustice. We should be angry at abuse and threat. But sadly, I fear that most of our anger is not about those things. Most of our anger is more self-centered. We're angry because we didn't get our way, because somebody was rude or disrespectful to us, because our feelings were hurt or our objectives were blocked. Now, we can try to call some of that stuff, that's just righteous indignation. Jesus got angry. He did. He got angry because they were offending his father and they were misusing his father's house. But I'm not sure that's always the reasons why we get angry when we want to call it righteous indignation. I fear most of our anger is self-centered. We need to remember that just because we are so mad right now, it doesn't mean that others have treated us so bad. Sometimes we think that's an equal comparison. I'm this mad because that means that somebody treated me really badly and they deserve every bit of the anger I'm going to get them, or else I wouldn't be this mad. Sometimes we just have to remember that that is not always the case. Too often we make our angry moments much worse by trying to justify our feelings. They shouldn't have treated me that way. They shouldn't have done that to me. They shouldn't have cut me off on the freeway. I'm only this mad because they really mistreated me. We can make a case in our minds, and we typically do. And we can make a case to all those that are listening. We'll get on the phone and talk about what they did and what they did and why I got so mad at them and I gave them a what for and I gave them a piece of my mind. And we can absolutely justify that to ourselves and probably even to some of our friends. Why it's completely reasonable for us to be this mad. But friends, what if instead of staying mad and blaming others, instead of giving place to anger in our hearts and our minds, what if we just gave it a minute? Or 10 or 20. or whatever it takes. What if we just gave it a minute, friends, and we didn't react in anger? What if we just let it pass? We don't have to respond in anger just because we're angry. It doesn't mean just because I'm this angry that what somebody did to me justifies how I feel. I have to remind myself all the time, don't say anything you're going to regret. You're not always going to be this mad. You're not always going to be as mad as you are right now. And when you're no longer this mad, you're going to be sorry that you said what you said or did what you did. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Friends, we need to be slow to anger. Let me read it again. James 1, 19 and 20. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this, everyone. Somebody say everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. If we want to have, friends, if we want to enjoy, if we want to live in, if we want to demonstrate God's character, then we need to learn a new rhythm. Say it with me. Quick, slow, slow. Would you stand with me? Worship team, if you could come and help me. Do we have a prayer team here this morning? If you're on the prayer team or if you're a pastor here, could you just come forward? I just want to make an opportunity, friend. Let's just make an altar. Now, some of you are going to want to make an altar maybe just where you are, but I'm going to encourage you. There's something about getting up from where we are and saying, I want to make a change in what I'm, change in how I'm acting. I want to make a change. And there's something really healthy about saying, I'm going to do that. And I don't care who knows. There's something about sort of confessing that. There's something about demonstrating that. I'm going to do something different. So if you're on the prayer team, if you would just, is that where you folks are? If you would just go ahead and face the folks in the congregation this morning. Because before we leave, I just want to give us an opportunity to respond. You know, you're in a message like this, or you hear any type of message, and God does different things with different people. He puts his finger on something. We have attitudes, we have behaviors, we have habits, there's stuff in our lives, and God will put his finger on something. And I encourage you, please don't leave this room this morning without dealing with it. It's like that check engine light that comes on your dash. The very worst thing you can do is ignore it. Because the more you ignore it in our own hearts and our own minds, it just keeps getting easier and easier and easier to do. But we can stop today and say, you know what? I don't want to treat my family this way. I don't want to talk to people that I love this way. I don't want to use the words that I have at my access. I don't want to use them to hurt. Instead, I want to use them to heal. I want to use them to help. God, help me to do that better today. I don't know where you are in that place, but there is no shame this morning in saying, God, I want to do it better. We can avoid sinning in our anger if we will follow this instruction. If we will take a few moments to listen and really understand what other people are trying to tell us. Think about it for a moment. Take a beat and listen. We don't have to respond. How many of you have ever looked at a text message or an email, and the first time you read through it, you got aggravated and frustrated, and you showed it to somebody else, and they said, what are you mad about? Why? Right? We just didn't take the time to see it from somebody else's perspective. We jumped to a conclusion because we wanted to be quick to react. But we need to be slow to speak. We need to be slow to react. Just another couple beats will save a whole lot of pain, friends. Just taking a couple beats before we react will save a whole lot of pain in our relationships, in our families, in our churches, in our workplaces. If we will gather our thoughts and speak carefully and respectfully, then we will be able to avoid allowing anger to do harm to the ones we love and the ones we're trying to demonstrate Jesus to. Friends, I'm never going to be a great dancer. But with practice, I learned and I got better. We can do the same with this. How many of you believe me this morning? Yeah. So before we, I'm going to get it. I'm going to be out of here before I get it, but I'm going to get it. Before we go, let's be quicker to listen. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Tim, I jump to conclusions. I say things too quickly. And I'm going to ask Jesus this morning to help me to be quicker to listen. If that's you, just lift a hand towards heaven this morning. Yeah. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I need to be slower to speak. I need to allow God to speak to my heart, speak to my mind. I need to be slower to speak and to react so that I can really understand what that person is saying or what that message is that's being presented to me. I'm going to be slower to speak. I'm determined and I'm asking Jesus today to help me. All right, that's you this morning. Yeah. Maybe anger's a thing for you. Say, God, I need some help with anger. I respond in anger. I used to be like a boiling pot. It just took a little bit more for me to boil over. God has helped me and is helping me. Friend, He wants to help you. I'm just going to invite you, if you're here and you'd like some prayer, some of the prayer team, maybe you just want to make an altar someplace and just talk to God about any of those things. I'm going to encourage you to come forward and do that. But before you come, I just need to ask one more question. If you're here today, you say, Tim, I hear you talking about power to receive. I hear you talking about God's truth that can come and change me. And I believe in God and I've come to church, but I've never really let Jesus in my life in a way that's changed me. In a way that's released power in my life to change the way I think and change the way I act. It's changed what I wanted to do, and all of a sudden I wanted to do right. But there's part of my heart that really wants to change. There's part of my heart that doesn't want to just go through the motions. Man, I don't just want to be a good Christian and try to put a smile on my face. I want to be able to live with joy. I want to be able to live with power. I'm tired of just taking that name of a Christian or acting like I am. I want to give my life completely to Jesus today in a way that changes me from the inside out. Is there anybody like that this morning? Yeah. Yeah. Would you just come and let some of these folks pray with you? Who's on prayer team this morning? Is that you guys? Yeah. Is there a gentleman? Is there a board member here? A gentleman that's a board member? Come on forward, friend. Pastor. Yeah. We pray for this brother right here. Anybody else? Man, I want to make room for my life for God in a way that I haven't before. Anybody else this morning? I'm just going to encourage you to come forward if that's you. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you can bring peace to our hearts. I thank you today that you can enable us to take new steps towards a rhythm of Christ-likeness. Lord, you can help us to be quick to hear. You can help us to be slow to speak. You can help us to be slow to anger. And God, I'm asking that for each one of us today. God, some of us have anger that just sort of simmers in our hearts. And all we have to do is just kind of be jostled, and it comes out in the way that we talk to one another, the way that we think, the way that we respond. We throw things, we break things, whatever it might be. Can you just join me this morning and repent? God, I repent of any place I've given to anger. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I break its power over me today in Jesus' name. And I'm asking God for your peace. I'm asking God for your power. I'm asking God for your strength to allow me to respond in a way that you would respond, without anger, without hatred, not flying off the handle, not throwing up that anger on my family and the people that I love. God, set me free from anger today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you today. I thank you today for Painesville Assembly of God. I thank you today for the way it is reaching into its community with love and with peace and with hope and with truth and with power. Lord, continue to enable them to do so. Empower us, God, to reach Painesville for Jesus. Empower us, God, to reach Northeast Ohio for Jesus. We just receive that power today. Father, touch each one. Touch each one this morning. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, if that's your prayer this morning, somebody said, amen. God bless you, folks. Love y'all.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.